Good morning, and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. My name is Brian Payne, and I'm lay chair of the Hospitality Ministries team. We're so glad that you're joining us today during this holy season of Lent. Lent is a time of reflection and repentance leading up to Easter, which is on April 4th this year. During the service, you may hear songs and words alluding to the 40 days of this season. In the description section of our live feed, you'll see worship materials, including an order of service and hymns. We also invite you to light a candle as a sign of Christ's presence with you. It's our hope that you experience God's love and grace during this worship time we have together today.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to this time of worship at West End United Methodist Church on this glorious, bright day. We are gathering in the sanctuary, those of us who are leading worship, and for us it is actually Saturday afternoon. Those of us who were able to navigate the roads in our neighborhoods felt like we could safely get to the church on Saturday afternoon while the sun was shining and the roads were melting. But overnight, the roads and the parking lot will be freezing once again. And so, unfortunately, we had to cancel in-person worship tomorrow morning at 8:45. So all of us together in this moment, whenever it is that you are participating in live stream worship, are nevertheless united in the Spirit of Christ. off the differences, through the differences of time and space, we are together in this time of worship. And we're so glad that you're with us today. Because of the slipperiness of the parking lot and the dangers of the roads, we have canceled all in-person programming for Sunday. So there will be no prayer stations. And our Teze service, which would be later on Sunday afternoon, will actually be an abbreviated time of meditation on divine love that will be offered through our Facebook page. So we invite you at 5 o'clock to join us on Facebook for that time of contemplative prayer. And of course, we want to encourage you to RSVP to worship in person next Sunday in the 8:45 service. If you are able and it is safe for you to do so, we hope that you will sign up on the links that are provided in our newsletter and in the chat. Next weekend, we have several opportunities to participate in service and worship. Our youth will be participating in a 30-hour famine, and on Saturday, they will be coming here in person in the parking lot to spend some time outdoors, and from 12 to 2, they are inviting all of us to come by and drop off food as part of a canned food drive-through. If that makes sense. So we will come through the parking lot and drop off our canned goods, especially canned fruit and beans. This is for the little pantry that could, that's right here close to the church, and we want to stock their shelves with fruit and beans. So we hope that you'll do that next Saturday from 12 to 2. Next Sunday at 4 o'clock, we'll be live streaming our Evensong service, so we invite you to tune in next Sunday for that. This is the first Sunday of our Lenten season. I hope that you were able to begin Lent together with our Ash Wednesday service this week. Our theme for the next 6 weeks in Lent is reset, and we will be hearing stories every Sunday in worship about people whom God placed on a new path. This morning we hear the story of Noah and how God did a reset and began again and issued a new covenant between God and all of creation. We are included in that covenant, my friends. And as those who are included, let us worship our God together.
makes all things new. God, who is faithful.
You call us to a season of remembering.
God, who is merciful.
You call us to a season of repentance.
Prepare our hearts for this Lenten journey. God is gracious and merciful and slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. God is near to all who call out in truth, listening to our cries for help and offering salvation. Trusting in these promises, let us confess our sins and seek God's pardon on this Lenten journey. God of the rainbow, you made a covenant with us and with all creation. You have kept your promises, and yet we are often not as faithful. We forget, we turn away, and we follow paths that lead us in the wrong directions. Forgive us, O God, for the pain we have caused to others and to ourselves. In this season of Lent, reveal to us our sins, that we might repent and make amends. Open our hearts, that we might love our neighbors as you call us to. And renew our spirits that we can participate in your transforming work in us and in the world. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. And now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
May the peace of Christ be with you.
May the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
The peace of Christ be with you.
The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from Genesis 9, 8 through 17. Then God said to Noah, and his sons with him, "As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between you and me and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth, when I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Now I want to invite all the children to come forward a little closer to your screens and join me for a moment together. I hope that you have had some time to enjoy the beautiful snow outside. I was so happy to wake up one morning this week and just see the smooth white layer of snow on my backyard. It was so beautiful. And I got to go outside in it too. One of the things that made me so happy was looking in the snow and seeing different animal tracks. I took pictures of the tracks and then I looked it up on the internet to see what kinds of animals had walked through our backyard. And there was a deer, there was a rabbit, there was a squirrel. I was hoping for a fox because we do have a fox in our neighborhood, but I didn't see any fox prints. And then, of course, there were the paw prints of our dog, Gabby. And then there were all of our footprints, those of us in our family. And seeing all of those footprints in the snow made me realize something. I think about that space behind our house as our backyard. But you know what? It really belongs to everybody. It belongs to all of those animals. A lot of animals make their home in that backyard. Birds come and eat. And I thought, maybe my job, since this little piece of land is behind our house, is to help take care of all the plants and animals that might pass through. Makes me want to maybe put up a bird feeder for these winter months and find other ways we can help take care of the animals, because it's their yard too. Let's pray together. Gracious God, in this story of Noah that we heard Patrick read, you remind us that you are a God of all creation and that you love animals and you want the earth to be a safe place for all of your creatures. So help us do what we can to take care of animals and the plants and all of creation. And thank you for sharing this beautiful earth with us. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining me. It's fun to hear the story of Noah's Ark in worship. It's a story I have loved since I was a child. It's a story that's fun to teach to children. It's easily accessible to children, because it's a story about animals, and there's a boat, and there's a rainbow. I just remember loving this story when I was a child, and singing about the archy-archy that Noah built, you know, and the animals, they came in by twosies, twosies. Oh, Vacation Bible School, one of my favorites. So it's a story that we often tell children, and that we often love as children. But when I became an adult and started reading the scriptures for myself and studying them in college and in seminary, I read this story of Noah for the first time myself, and I began to see a darker side of the story. I began to ask a lot of questions of this story. It seems that God just willingly destroys the earth except for Noah and two animals of each kind. How do we wrestle with those questions? As one who was shaped by the church, and particularly the Methodist church, I have come to believe that at the core of everything, the core of everything I believe about God, is that God is love. And so how do we put this story of the flood up next to this understanding of God as love? Well, it's an invitation into that great wrestling match that we are always invited by the scriptures to wrestle with them, to ask our questions, to peel away the layers, and to realize that we will never come to a final answer, but that there is blessing in the wrestling. We will peel away one layer, and there will be another layer of meaning to explore and to wrestle with. So if you will join me in wrestling for a little bit with this story of Noah and what it reveals to us about who God is and about our relationship with God and God's relationship with us and our relationship with each other and all of creation and God. What does this story have to teach us? Well, first of all, I want to say that I think this story was meant to be a teaching tool. I invite us to read this story perhaps not as history and not as a science text, but as a story that was told from one generation to the next to try and tell and teach about the heart of God and about the relationship of humankind with God and with creation. So what does the story teach us about God? Well, to get at some of those questions, I'd like to focus primarily on the rainbow in this story. Of course, the story of Noah takes up several chapters in Genesis, and what we've heard comes at the end of the flood, after Noah and his family and all of the animals have emerged from the ark, and Noah has built an altar and worshiped God, and now God speaks to Noah and all who are gathered and initiates a new covenant. And the sign of the covenant is a rainbow in the clouds. If you go back and read that verse where God first introduces the rainbow, God says, "I will put my bow in the clouds." What if we think about the bow here as a weapon, the bow and the arrow? And God is saying in this moment, "I am hanging that up, and I will never pick it up again. I will not be a God of destruction. I will not be a God of punitive rage. I will not be a God of revenge. I am putting that bow in the clouds." And perhaps this story is meant to teach the people of God that our God is not a God of destruction and revenge and wrath, but a God of covenant and new beginnings. Even throughout the story of Noah, from the very beginning of this story, the way that it's told, God's actions do not come out of anger and wrath, but out of grief and a broken heart. God has created humankind to be in right relationship with God and right relationship with the animals and the plants and all the earth. And yet humankind has proven themselves to be uninterested in that relationship. They've turned away again and again to wickedness and selfishness. And it breaks God's heart. And so, as new life emerges from the ark, and as God places the bow in the clouds, God says, "Let us renew our relationship. Let us enter into this covenant that I initiate out of my love and my longing to be in right relationship with you. This is a sign that I will not be a God of destruction and revenge and wrath." Another thing I love about the rainbow is its completeness. I'm not a scientist. I don't even play one on TV. But my understanding is that the rainbow includes all the colors of the spectrum that the human eye can see. And of course, we can combine all these colors to make different colors, but the array is complete in its beautiful variety and diversity. And if it weren't for the placement of the land, the rainbow would be a full circle, complete, without any color, without anything being left out. And here, God is saying in this moment of initiating covenant that God is making this covenant with all flesh, with all creation. There is no person, there is no creature who is left out. And we who are created represent the great variety and spectrum of diversity of God's creative spirit. And it is clear to me in this story that God's intention is that all would be included in God's declaration of love to creation. Another thing about the rainbow, just one more thing that I want to highlight this morning, and I know that you have lots of other ideas and other ways that this image of the rainbow speaks to you. But as I think about the rainbow, I remember when it appears to us. Now, I understand from Bible study that apparently there's a rainbow every day in Hawaii, but I've never been there, so I don't know. But for most of us in the world, the rainbow appears at rare and beautiful moments when the storm is not quite over. But the rainbow is a sign of hope, that the sunlight is breaking through, that the storm will soon be over, and there will be a new beginning, and that the world has been cleansed and washed in the waters of the rains and the storms, and we can start again. We're living in a season right now that feels like a transition moment. Pastor Maggie talked about it in her Ash Wednesday sermon. This in-between place, which Katie Minnis called the grief-hope sandwich. We're in a place where the storm is not yet over, and yet there are so many signs of hope. It seems to me we are emerging out of this time of pandemic as more and more people get vaccinated, as we watch the numbers go down, as people continue to do what we need to do to keep each other safe and healthy. We can begin to see there is a new day ahead. I've been really involved in some good conversations about fighting racism in our society and in our institutions and in our church, and those conversations are inspirational and give me hope that a new day is coming and that so much of the storm and the pain that we have experienced, we remember together, we can emerge into a new day together from. Maybe in your own life, you've had an experience of storm and trouble. And you see this sign of a rainbow as a reminder that God is with us in the storm and is always there to lead us forward into a new day. I have a good friend who told me her own experience with a rainbow. She was driving down the interstate one afternoon, had come through some terrible, scary storms with the windshield wipers didn't seem to help at all. And as the rain started to get lighter, she saw a rainbow on the road ahead of her. It seemed that the arc just ended on the interstate. And she wasn't sure what would happen, but she drove right toward that rainbow, and then she drove through it. And she described how it felt to pass through the colors of the rainbow. It was a spiritual experience for her. It was a miraculous moment. For that second, she felt connected with all of creation and infused with joy and hope. May the rainbow that we first encounter in this story of Noah, that was a sign in that moment of new creation, a renewal of all the earth, be for us too, in this moment, in our life together and in our lives individually, a sign of the loving, constant presence of our God, who is even in this moment renewing us and leading us to a new day. Thanks be to God.
As a people of renewal, let us rise in body or spirit as we affirm our faith in the covenant love of God with these words from number 883 in our United Methodist hymnal. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we come to our time of prayer, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you would like to share prayers with our pastoral team, one way you may do that is simply to follow the link under Contact Us on our website. There may also be a link showing up right now to take you directly there in the comments section on Facebook and live stream. Also, you may post prayer concerns in those comment sections. Just remember that that is a public forum. We have several births to announce today. And when I say several, I mean a lot. This is a day of celebration. If you can't tell by the veritable bouquet of roses on our communion table. So we have lots of births to celebrate. And the first is Virginia Allen Schneeweis, who was born to Olivia and Colin Schneeweis on September 28th, 2020. Then there is Madison Marsh, who was born November 18th, 2020, in Cape Town, South Africa, to Whitney Barnett and her husband, Juan Marsh. She is welcomed also by her big brother, Jackson Marsh, and her grandparents, Wendell and Pam Barnett. We also celebrate the birth of Ava Louise Hendren, who was born to Haley and Anthony Hendren on February 5th, 2021. Furthermore, we celebrate the birth of Caroline Lawhorn, who was born to Marley and Jim Lawhorn on February 9th, 2021. And last but certainly not least, we also celebrate the birth of McGavick Martin Johnson Jr., or Mac, who was born to McGavick and Maggie Johnson. He is welcomed also by his grandparents, Carol and Riggs Stevenson, his uncle and his aunt, Jackson and Caroline Stevenson, and his great uncles, Monty Smith and Ricky Smith. Today we also remember those who are mourning. Our prayers are with Chris Harness Jarrell in the death of her mother, Merle Wally, who passed away Monday morning, February 15th, in Mobile, Alabama. Merle Wally was also the grandmother of Charity Vandergrick. The family hopes to have a graveside service for her sometime soon in Leakesville, Mississippi. Also, our deepest prayers are with the family of Sue Collins Miller, who passed away on Tuesday, February 16th. Sue was a dear friend to so many West Enders. Among her survivors are her husband, Reverend Bill Miller, and daughter and son-in-law, Jennifer and Jeff. and their grandchildren as well. Now, let us go to God in prayer. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Good morning, God. It's been a cold, gray, snowy week here in Nashville and across much of the country. But these last several days, we have seen the sun break through the clouds, and we've begun to feel just a little more warmth around us. Lord, today we pray for all those who have been impacted adversely by the weather. We pray for our siblings in Texas, many of whom have gone days without power or water. We pray especially for persons anywhere who have no shelter from the ice, the snow, and the cold. We pray for the many workers, emergency crews, utility crews, outreach workers, and everyday volunteers who have tended to those in need. And though it has been frigid, there has also been great beauty. When we watch the snow gently fall and we see the landscape transform into a pillowy down, as children, adults, and animals alike come out to play, to sled, and to stroll in the wintry wonderland, we are reminded of the beauty of this creation. And so we pray for this creation and all creatures in it. We remember that you are indeed the God of the rainbow, the God who promised never to seek our destruction, but rather the God who seeks our flourishing. As the sun shines again after a cold and snowy week, we can just slightly imagine what it must have been like for Noah, his family, and the animals to look outside after 40 days of rain and see the sun peeking through the clouds. In moments like this, your creation sings your song of peace. We pray that such peace would settle in our hearts, melting away any parts that might be cold and frozen, and warming our souls until we are assured of your everlasting love. Renew us, O God of the rainbow. We welcome you into our lives once again as we turn toward you in this season of Lent. You are always faithful to us. Help us be faithful in return. Because you are so faithful, we lift up to you the many people that we know who are hurting, struggling, mourning, or suffering this morning. We remember those places in this world that need signs of your covenant promise of everlasting grace. And so we turn to you in a time of silent prayer to offer this multitude of petitions. As people of your holy covenant of love, we pray together as Jesus taught us by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we come to the part of our service where we give our tithes and offerings, We recognize that in these days, everyone has been affected differently. If you are unable to give at this time, we understand. But if you are in a position to give, or to give more than usual, we encourage you to do so. This will help us continue our vital ministries in the community and throughout the world. You should see on your screen where you may go to make your offerings at this time. As we give our tithes and offerings this morning, let us offer our hearts to our loving God.
this time of worship to be people of the rainbow, people who shine the loving light of Christ that is beautiful and brilliant and all-inclusive and a sign of hope to all the world. And as we shine, may we know God's joy.